The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The American Rescue Plan has already allocated funds to states to address the immediate challenge to our economy and of too few child care operations. This is the largest investment in child care since World War II. Today, my administration is releasing guidance to states to help get the funds they need out the door as quickly as possible to allow dramatic expansion and availability of child care in this country. With these funds, states can help hundreds of thousands of providers reopen and stay open and provide safe and healthy learning environments for more than 5 million children.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That, of course, the president, a lot to do, right? He's got to jumpstart the economy, get kids back into the classrooms, and try to get life back to normal. Say a prayer for him. A lot going on. Boy, there is a lot. Job numbers were terrible last week. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about them because of the pledge drive. And by the way, just speaking of the pledge drive, I'm sitting back here in the radio studio with my producers, and we were just saying, this is unbelievable. Your generosity has just been off the charts, and I want to personally, again, thank you. I know yesterday or last week we were asking, if you missed the pledge drive, it's not too late to get in. You can still call us and make a pledge. I'll give you the number in a second. But the pledge goal was $2.7 million, and that sounds like an extraordinary number, a huge number to try to get, right? It's a real number. We reach a lot of souls across the country, and when the pledge drive wrapped up, we went over it. We went to 2.9, closing in on almost $3 million, about $50,000 away from 3 million. So if you didn't get a chance to give, hey, we welcome you to the party. We'd love to have you be part of the Relevant Radio family and be part of this great mission of evangelization. The number here, you can get in anytime to my studio or to make your donation. Let me give you the donation number. It's 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123. Of course, you can join me in studio at 888-914-9149. We're talking about the president. Let me just share one quick piece of audio. In about 25 minutes or so, I want to take a look at the economy. I want to take a look at why there's so much unemployment in the country right now. And yet, there are so many for sale, not for sale signs, but wanted signs. You see them everywhere. You hear these employers saying, I can't get people to work. You know, the president laid out very specific plans earlier today to get people back to work. And listen, and then, of course, you can always let me know what you think.
Today, we're opening a portal for state and local governments to apply for the first funds from the American Rescue Plan. Because states and local governments have to balance their budgets, a lot of them had to lay off employees when the economy, state employees and local employees, when the economy slowed and tax revenues fell. We're talking about 1.3 million state and local employees out of work. Now, the money we're going to be distributing now, is going to make it possible for an awful lot of educators, first responders, sanitation workers to go back to work. Second, this is a year-long program. Second, we're delivering assistance to tens of thousands of restaurants and bars across the country. Today, we're sending out the first relief checks to 16,000 hard-hit restaurants with help for many more to follow. A lot more people are going to be employed. Third, the employers bring back laid-off workers to help them do that. We're going to remind them that there are some programs they can take advantage of. For example, employers can hire back their laid-off workers part-time without those workers having to give up all their unemployment benefits.
Wow. That sounds good, huh? Does that give you incentive to get back? I'll tell you what, we'll talk about it coming up at the bottom of the hour. And if you are a small business owner, I would love to hear from you. Maybe you're at home saying, you know what, Drew, to be honest with you, I'd rather be paid a little bit more and stay here and get some other stuff done that I wanted to get done. Maybe you have a desire to write or be creative or do something around the house and you don't want to go and work for less. Maybe your wages aren't guaranteed if you do go into work. Maybe you're, you know, wait staff, you rely on gratuity, who knows? Love to hear your perspective on that. We'll talk about how we're going to get this right, how we're going to fix him. A lot going on in the country today, too. CatholicVote.org, they reported last week, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this either, so let me catch you up on some news. The Florida legislature, they passed a bill that would actually forbid social media companies like Facebook or Twitter to ban elected officials from communicating on their platforms. And this is something that I think is pretty good. I mean, Governor Ron DeSantis has pledged to sign the bill. The move comes about 5 months after social media giants YouTube and Twitter removed the former president from their platforms. And it's a decision a lot of commentators on both sides of the aisle warned could indicate that big tech has way too much power over political speech, way too much power. And Facebook's new oversight board, well, they voted last week to confirm their lifelong ban on the president. You know, so you can see there's reason for pause and reason for concern. In fact, you know, there was a survey I saw over the weekend. It came out of NBC News, and it confirmed what pretty much everybody already knows, that people believe that social media is not uniting our country, even though we're more connected. What it's actually doing is dividing the country. It divides more than it unites. The poll found that 66% of people in the U.S. use social media on a daily basis, and it found that just about that same number of people believe that it divides us more than it unites us. So no matter how, you know, you break up the data, sizable majorities of Republicans, Democrats, independents, whites, Latinos, young people, seniors, they believe that that's the way things are today. One thing I found striking, though, was that 77% of Republicans believed it, and only 54% of Democrats do. So there is also this ideological difference between the parties. And I guess people's certain mindsets begin to gravitate, you know, to their particular polls, if you will. You know, they gravitate to, you know, whether the more liberal, more conservative, you know, and their views on some of these issues. Controlling the internet, of course, is something that a lot of people want to do. You know, it has unbelievable power, and you can see how it can, you know, with your algorithm, limit information from getting out, or you can see how it can champion a particular person or individual, how it can influence a lot of people. China is getting in on the action here, and look, you really have to pray for our country. I remember a great mystic in South America when I was making documentaries years and years ago. Her name was Maria Esperanza Medrano de Bianchini. She had this great gift. She had the stigmata. She had the ability to prophesy. Her cause is now open for the church. It's a church-approved apparition. And it's a woman who I know personally, and I had a lot of respect for her. She warned about China. This was years ago. This was decades ago. Well, the Epoch Times has obtained documents showing that Xi Jinping wants his country to be controlling the internet. And wants to, they want to do that rather than the U.S. as we currently do. I don't know how good that's going to be for freedom, for speech, for liberty, right, for truth. He made remarks in 2017, and he indicates that these are leaked documents, by the way, that Xi articulated a vision for using technology to rule the internet, to achieve total control over every part of the online ecosystem, he says, such as applications and content and quality and capital and manpower. I find that concerning, to be honest with you. I do. I find that very, very concerning. But we'll see what happens. See, this is part of the Chinese philosophy to rule, to dominate the world. They're growing in their strength, their power, and their reach. And I think in the next decade, we're going to see the U.S. going toe-to-toe with them on a lot of different fronts. Now, of course, the Chinese have stolen our intellectual property. They've been behind a lot of hacks. We know the human rights abuses that are taking place there. So we need to pray for their conversion. Just as in 1917, when the Virgin came and warned of Russia and the evils that she would spread and how we must pray, especially the rosary, for its conversion. I think that same message holds true today. In fact, I think it holds exceptionally true for China. I think there's going to be a lot of talk in the not-too-distant future. One final thought here, too, and I'll be joined by Dr. Bill Donahue coming up in a second here, but a lot of countries are upset with China because they didn't control the descent of that piece of rocket. You know, there was questions, will it fall over the U.S.? Where is it going to fall? On April 28th, China set this rocket up with with the main piece of a space station that they're building. They want their own space station. For some reason, the main part of the rocket was allowed to orbit the Earth for about a week before it descended, but it was uncontrolled. The descent had no control. no one knew where it was going to land. Can you imagine that hit a populated area, Chicago, some major city, Houston? Fortunately, it broke up over the sparsely inhabited islands in the Pacific. No injuries were reported there. So thank God for that. Here's a little bit more on what, to me, was just a perplexing story. Fascinating story. This comes from CBS. And if you're concerned, listen to this.
Remnants of a 20-ton Chinese rocket rained down on the Indian Ocean somewhere southwest of India and Sri Lanka Sunday morning local time, which was around 10:30 Saturday night Eastern time. Chinese state-run media is reporting the bulk of its largest rocket burned upon re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere near the Maldives. The Long March 5B rocket blasted off April 29th, carrying components of China's planned space station, Harmony of the Heavens. But the Chinese space agency lost control of the rocket as it continued its 17,000-mile-an-hour orbit around the Earth, edging closer and closer with each pass. Sky watchers caught glimpses of it as it tracked as far north as New York and as far south as New Zealand.
This is the second largest uncontrolled reentry in the last couple of decades.
There were fears it would send objects weighing hundreds of pounds slamming into the Earth as it re-entered the atmosphere.
About 9 tons, we estimate, will survive. And of that's kind of equivalent to dropping 3 pickup trucks on somebody's head or crashing a small airplane.
The U.S. military tracked the rocket's trajectory but had no plans to shoot it down. China insisted its remnants were unlikely to cause harm.
What you have to remember is, the world is 75% covered in water. And the land area, while it's very vast, there's a lot more empty land for debris to fall on than there are populated areas.
Still, the suspense as to exactly where pieces of that rocket would land had many on the edge of their seats.
Well, thank God it went down, as I said, in the Pacific. Nobody injured. And I go back again. Many eyes will be on China. Let's keep them and their conversion in our prayers. Let's pray for our own country, too. I think it's so important. I take a look at the Biden administration, right? How strong will they be against China? What will their positions be with Taiwan, with the Uyghurs, with so many of the other issues that are going to be rising, with tariffs, with intellectual property theft, all of those issues. So pray. I say that all the time. But you need to pray for our own country too. The Biden administration, I got to tell you what they're doing here, and this is absolutely sickening. If you ask me, it's sickening. As soon as the election results were announced back in November, we knew that there were going to be negative consequences for Catholic hospitals and doctors. It's something I warned you about. Your vote has consequences. And it's not just because, you don't like a bombastic individual. It's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be about those issues that matter, such as life and religious liberty, freedom, and the Supreme Court, and all of those types of issues. So on the campaign trail, if you remember back then, the candidate Joe Biden made it very clear he was going to allow for conscience protection for anybody opposed to this sexual revolution. He was not going to allow for any conscience protection. He said, no, that's not going to happen. And that included abortion. It included this whole transgender agenda. So he didn't lie. He said no. He made it very clear. Go back and listen to him. You knew where he stood on this issue. Health and Human Service Secretary Becerra today, he announced that the administration is going to forbid what they call discrimination against people who consider themselves transgender. And that means that if you're a Catholic or a Christian health professional or even a secular health professional who understands a very basic fact of reality, the biology of the human body, and a woman walks into your office claiming to be a man and demands that, you treat her body according to that mistaken belief that she is a man, or vice versa, however you want to look at it, and your choice is do whatever she says or be sued. How do you like that? On top of being sued, you can also be harassed out of the business depending on what state you're in. You can also lose your medical license, by the way. So according to the New York Times, administration officials said that the new policy is based on a ruling by the Supreme Court last summer in which the justices said that civil rights laws protect the so-called LGBTQ workers from employment discrimination. I'm joined right now by Dr. Bill Donahue. He's the CEO of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights, a great champion of our Catholic faith. And he's been raising the alarm on this one. You can learn more about him and That organization, by the way, CatholicLeague.org. Doctor, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you, and thank you for such a pithy and accurate summary of this crisis, and it is a crisis.
It is. I have many friends who are physicians, and I think, man, what would I do if I were in their shoes? So, look, let's talk about this. Maybe you can lay it out for people who don't understand. What exactly does this new decree state, and what are doctors going to be required to do?
Well, first of all, I want everybody to know that Catholic hospitals, Catholic doctors, do not discriminate in giving health care to transgender persons. If you have a COVID, for example, you have a broken leg, you have diabetes, no Catholic hospital or doctor would turn you down because you're transgender. What's at stake here is this. Can we have the government force a Catholic doctor, it could be an Orthodox Jewish doctor, many others, not just simply us, but can the government force a Catholic doctor to perform anatomy surgery on a man or a woman who wants to switch sexes?
Right.
And that's a different thing altogether now. If you believe, as Christians do, and we have our ideas on sexuality coming from our Jewish brothers and sisters, that God made man and woman, it didn't make a third, and that we have to treat people with equal dignity and respect, then clearly we have to understand that there could be conscientious objections grounded in religion on the part of Catholic doctors saying, listen, that's something I can't do. Now you're forcing me to do something which violates my own religious tenets. What the Biden administration is doing now is saying, listen, we lost in the courts, we've appealed it, what they said, trying to have Title IX of the civil rights laws applied to transgender persons. The Title IX comes out of 1972, which is an amendment to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and it basically says that you can't discriminate against people on the basis of sex. Nobody disagrees with that. That means basically you can't discriminate against women any more than you can against men. Now, fast forward to 2015. In the Obama administration, they're saying, well, let's see now, that really could be redefined as meaning transgender persons. Well, no, or sexual orientation for that matter. No, those are behavioral achievements. We're asking, the law says you can't discriminate between a man and a woman. It says nothing about sexual orientation, much less about people transitioning to another sex. But they just simply ignored it. The Office of Civil Rights under the Obama administration simply decided that even an Obamacare didn't make that leap. We're going to reinterpret things. Well, then Trump comes in and he overturns it. Then Biden comes in and now he's doing what Obama set out to do in the first place and they're not wasting any time. So what this means is this. A Catholic doctor who can perform anatomical surgery, but who refuses to do so, or any of the therapies and the hormone treatment and everything else, puberty blockers, the whole kit and caboodle, if he refuses to do so, then he can lose his license, they can shut down the hospital. We've always had in this country religious exemptions for something of this gravity. The Obama administration wants to get rid of all religious exemptions.
Wow. I didn't think about the hospitals. I thought about the doctors. What impact will this have on those institutions? They can actually be shut down? I guess they won't permit that. They'll fire the doctors, won't they? I mean, how do you see that interplay taking place?
Well, first of all, I think there's no question about it. They have to know it themselves. Yeah. This is going to be tested in the courts. There's no question about it. Now, what they're saying is that, well, we won in the Bostock ruling last year where they said you can't discriminate against transgender and gays in employment.
Right.
That's a pretty big difference between forcing a doctor or a hospital to perform surgery and provide therapies which violate its religious tenets. You're talking about behavioral changes here. And so I think that while I disagreed very strongly with the reasoning of Judge Gorsuch, whom I generally admire, I was with Alito on this one here, but even with Gorsuch now, he's talking about employment, whether or not you can say no to somebody who's gay or transgender in employment. This is a different kettle of fish altogether.
Oh, yeah.
And if I had to put my wager down, it'll be that the Biden administration will lose in the courts on this issue. But that shouldn't relieve us and give us an opportunity for pause.
Right.
We know what they want to do, And to your question, yes, they would shut us down, and they are prepared. This devout Catholic, self-professed president would shut down Catholic hospitals if he could, if they don't do exactly what he's saying.
That's so tragic. What are the options here, doctor? How much do you fight back on this if the Supreme Court's already ruled that employers can't fire employees on the basis of sex transitioning? As you said, these are two different issues, so I agree with you. I tend to think that this will lose if it goes to the courts, but what are our options? How do we fight back? On another note here, too, the Utah Supreme Court recently ruled that a person, they can change their birth, you know, the, his or her birth certificate, you know, from one sex to another, depending on how they see themselves. So if Utah's doing that, I'm just concerned about where we are as a nation and what we can do at this particular juncture to maybe stop this rising tide.
There are some good things that are happening. For example, all across the country, we've seen examples of school districts, and for that matter, states, who have decided that we are not going to allow biological men to compete with girls in their sports. So it is catching on. As part of it is a matter of education, which is one of the things that you do so well. People need to know about it. People are busy with a million different things in their lives. We understand that, especially in these trying times. Once they find out about this, they'll say, "What? This is madness. You mean the guy can actually shower, use the same facilities with the girls in high school? What have we lost our mind?" That's part of it. The other thing besides education, of course, is the law. And fortunately, we do have a number of different good legal outfits that will do pro bono work in this country, and I'll be glad to take this up. And fortunately, Donald Trump was able to put three very good people, notwithstanding my difference with Judge Gorsuch on this issue, on the Supreme Court, and he's appointed over 200 federal judges. But, of course, the Biden administration is bent on undoing this. Yeah. And the fact that this is coming from a devout Catholic, self-professed president is all the more nauseating.
It is. It's frustrating. It's sickening, as I said when I began. Hey, Doctor, I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for the Catholic League, too. I saw a piece that you wrote, maybe it was last week or the week before, the Hate America campaign is in high gear. I'd love to talk to you about that as well, where we are as a nation and what we can ultimately do. But if people want to learn more about what you do, it's simply CatholicLeague.org, right? That's the best way to connect?
Exactly. There's a wealth of information there.
Well, I appreciate it. And I am up against the clock, but maybe I'll have you back tomorrow if you're around. I'd love to talk to you about what we're seeing here in the country. My guest, Dr. Bill Donahue, say a prayer for him as well. Doing great work. I've always appreciated what he's done over the years. You can check out their organization, Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights. It's CatholicLeague.org. Tons of great info there. Back in a second. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
22 million people lost their jobs in this pandemic through no fault of their own. They lost their jobs to a virus and to a government that bungled its response to the crisis and failed to protect them. We still have 8 million fewer jobs than we did when the pandemic started. And for many of those folks, unemployment benefits are a lifeline. No one should be allowed to game the system.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, look, I'm all about helping somebody when they are down and when they are out, everybody needs a helping hand. I think you should be conscious of helping somebody who's in that situation. It makes a big difference. I know what it was like to be in between jobs, let's put it that way, for a little bit. And people really came and they helped me and made a huge difference. I mean, acts of charity and God's providence became very evident in my life at that point in time. But I also see how people sometimes can take advantage of the opportunity not to work. Last week, I don't know if you followed these numbers at all. I really didn't get a chance to talk to you about this. But the Biden administration was getting ready for what they expected to be some really big, some good news, right? And the president thought he was going to have in his first 2 months of office, or first 100 days, I should say, not first 2 months, some of the biggest job growth in the history of any president, right? Of course, we know what happened, right? Shocking numbers. The payroll company ADP announced on Wednesday that nearly 750,000 jobs were added to the company to the economy last month. So forecasters predicted more than a million, you know, million jobs have been added. They thought millions of jobs are going to be added, and that would have such a huge impact. It was great news for the president. If it had been true, you know, those peacock feathers would have went up, and he would have taken credit for that victory. But what happened? The government announced on Friday the real numbers, and they were just a third of what was forecasted by ADP. There were only 266,000 jobs. And to say that that was a disappointment, that was an understatement, because not only were there fewer jobs added than expected, but the employment percentage, it went from 6% to 6.1%, right? But here's the strange thing. And I've talked about this for months. I know you're seeing it personally. There are a lot of people out of work, and you're saying, well, can't they get a job? You know, why are we seeing, if there's so many unemployed people, why am I seeing signs on display everywhere for help wanted, right? I shared a story of on my way into work, I passed, I guess it's a lumber yard. I don't know, actually know what the guy does, whether it's flooring or lumber, but he had a sign up there for $15 an hour, went up to $16 an hour, then it went to $16.10, $16.20, $16.40, it kept going up. You know, it just kept going up. And he had trouble getting people. McDonald's in Pennsylvania, there's a McDonald's agency there, and you know, I'm not banging the guy for this. I think it's clever. He's offering a $500 sign-on bonus. You want to work for McDonald's? Come on, we'll give you $500 to sign on. That's a McDonald's. That's how much he must be losing a lot of business to do that. And there are signs like that all over the place. Restaurants of all kinds, manufacturers, retailers, you name it. Just about every industry is looking to hire people. I'm sure you're encountering it in your own. But how come no one's responding? Why? One home improvement chain in the upper Midwest is offering a starting salary of $17 an hour just to get people in the door. I feel like telling one of my kids who's looking for a job. There you go, right? The Wall Street Journal reported that three factors are contributing to this. You know what those three factors are? The Journal says it's fear of COVID-19. I'm sure it plays a role. I don't know how significant a role. Two, the very generous unemployment benefits people are getting. And three, the lack of child care. Those are the three that the Journal points out. I'm joined right now by Chris Temple. He's an editor and publisher of the National Investor. You can find more at his website, too, nationalinvestor.com. I always enjoy his analysis and insight. Good to have you with me, Chris. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, Drew. Nice to be back with you.
So this is, you know, this has a lot of people scratching their head. I know last week there was a lot of conversation about this. It's something I've been observing for a while. And I'm curious because I don't know the answer to this, and I think you're probably closer to it than I would be. ADP, why did they and other forecasters get their numbers so spectacularly wrong? I mean, how could they miss the mark by that much?
Well, the interesting thing, Drew, is that more often than not, ADP is closer to what the truth is. Don't forget that BLS just as often stands for the Bureau of Lying Statistics, yeah. And we don't always get good numbers from the government. So I think the truth, actually, when it all shakes out, was somewhere in between. There's some statistical quirks that were in there that made a bad number even more so maybe than it would have been or should have been. But I throw in with that Wall Street Journal piece that you just cited, except in reverse order, as far as the reasons why there aren't more people going out getting those jobs. I think that the COVID business is at the bottom of the list. But here again, I listened to a commentator this morning who owns a restaurant, and he said that where he is to compete with the unemployment benefits and things that are where people are getting paid to stay home and play on their computers and buy doggy coin and get on Robinhood and whatever else they're doing, he'd have to pay $22 an hour to match what the unemployment benefits are getting. So that is why, as I'm sure you've also seen, you've had a few states now, mine in Florida being one of them, that says enough. You're not going to get the free ride anymore. We're not going to continue to endorse that. In my state particularly, Governor DeSantis has said, guess what? You're going to have to prove that you tried to get a job to continue getting unemployment.
Yeah, that's so true. We'll take a few calls for you, too. If you want to join us, the number is 888-914-9149, and I'll go to the phones in a second. Let me just share with you what the president said. He disputed the claim that a lot of Americans don't want to go back to work. And I would think that is the number one reason. And again, I'm just looking at this as an observer of all things. I would think if the pay is close to what I would get, or maybe a little bit more, or even if it was a little bit less, and maybe I'm in a service industry where I rely on tips, doesn't it make sense, Chris, to stay home and maybe work on something else, polish the resume, take a class, I mean, do something, or be guaranteed this income? And I don't think it's laziness. I just think people are looking at the numbers. Here's what Joe Biden said. I love your take, and then I'm going to take a few calls. The president, again, said that the Americans who are purposely staying home, he says they're trying to cheat the system, and he wants to stop that. He doesn't want them to receive benefits anymore. Listen to this.
We're going to make it clear that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits. There are a few COVID-19-related exceptions, so that people aren't forced to choose between their basic safety and a paycheck. But otherwise, that's the law. I know there's been a lot of discussion since Friday's report, that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work. Well, we don't see much evidence of that. That is a major factor. We don't see that. Look, it's easy to say the line has been, because of the generous unemployment benefits, that it's a major factor in labor shortages. Americans want to work. Americans want to work. As my dad used to say, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity, your place in the community, being able to look your kid in the eye and say everything's going to be okay. I think the people who claim Americans won't work, even if they find a good and fair opportunity, underestimate the American people. So we'll insist that the law is followed with respect to benefits, but we're not going to turn our backs on our fellow Americans.
Yeah, I would agree with his dad. I think work is about dignity. But I don't know whether Americans have the same mindset, the same work ethic as Joe Biden's father had. My guest today is Chris Temple.
Not hardly.
Hey, Chris, your thoughts on that? I mean, he thinks that people want to work. I don't know. I don't know how to read Joe Biden. He always quoting his father. I'm just, how are they going to make sure that people take these jobs and they're not cheating the system? And what are your thoughts? I'd love your assessment on the amount of money that's being offered and whether or not it's actually hurting the economy.
Well, what he said is a bunch of high-sounding pablum and gobbledygook, Drew. Basically, he knows he's not that far gone yet, where he doesn't realize that, as the late Ronald Reagan said, whatever the government subsidizes, we get more of. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that when you have invited people and given them the mechanism to stay home and not have to go out, unless, you know, you're talking about $20-plus dollars an hour, well, of course people are going to stay home. And, right. And you know, look, for him to talk about the values of his father, I don't think his father was in favor of unleashing boys and girls' restrooms and locker rooms either. So I mean, I don't have a whole lot of respect for him or what he said. But we get right back to the fact that if you want to solve this problem in a country that by all appearances, or most appearances, is on the mend, we're getting herd immunity and all the rest of that kind of stuff, you just get rid of the unemployment benefits and be done with it. And you let the market come back and work. The government doesn't need to be the everything of last resort, including the employer. So that's how you fix this, is you do what a few state governors are already doing without Biden's help and saying, all right, well, at least in our four walls, we're going to do things Joe Biden's father's way.
All right, let's do this. We'll grab a call or two. If you want to get in and sound off, share your own experience, give us your perspective. We'd love to hear from you. Phones are open at 888-914-9149. Jim's screening the calls today. Say hello to him when he picks up. We'll go to Delia. She's listening in Cuba, New Mexico. Hi, Delia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you. I received my Divine Mercy book, and I'm excited to finally start reading it
Fantastic.
When I get some time. But my husband and I are a small restaurant owner in Cuba, New Mexico, very rural area of New Mexico. And we bought the business May 5th of 2019. So when the pandemic happened, we had only owned the business 10 and a half months. So it's been tough. I mean, through prayer and everything, we've managed, I think, to get through it. But going through this unemployment thing, it's hard because New Mexico increased their unemployment minimum wage to $10.50 as of January 1st, which is hard for us. We meet that requirement, so we're trying to pay that. But even if I were to offer somebody to come to work for me, what they're getting in unemployment rate in New Mexico, I would have to be paying them around $11.75 an hour. I can't take that. I can't afford that. I have cut my employees down from before pre-pandemic. We were at about 15 employees. Today, I'm down to 9 employees. I have 2 high school girls who work for me that get excuses from school so they can work. These little girls are hard worker. I depend on them. Most of my employees are single moms. You know, we've been shut down for so long that we were only offered to do carry out. And when we were finally able to open back up again, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware, New Mexico had 3 shutdowns and restaurants had 3 shutdowns from March of 2019, I think, up until we didn't open up again until Valentine's Day.
How you made it.
And yes. And so, you know, people are slamming us because people want to get out and eat. And, you know, first we were at 25%. New Mexico has this color chart. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. So we actually reached turquoise. So now we're at 75%. And so people are bombarding us, which is great. Business is booming. Business is great for us. But when you're limited to staff, we had to cut our hours of operation from 16-hour days down to 9-hour days. So we're only open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. You know, we're having to meet COVID safety requirements. So if an employee comes in and says, hey, I don't feel good, they're out of work for 7 to 10 days until they feel better or come back with a negative COVID test. You know, we don't have any relief. And you work your employees that are there. And, you know, and my saying that I was raised with is the people who want to work are working. And that's exactly that's what's happening now.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, everyone's sitting here saying, you know, we have customers that come in and, you know, they're like, oh, we had to wait 45 minutes for our food. And I'm like, people, like, I'm short staffed. Like, you know, so we're getting slammed on social media for taking too long. Or and it's just not us. It's all these businesses, you know, or, you know, and I'm like, you know, we've been through so much. And I tell people all the time, it's like, bear with us. You know, I mean, you know, when you walk into this restaurant, this little restaurant, and we have 25 tables and you see that they're full, you know, we can't serve you like McDonald's, you know, and we want your business, but we don't want to be slammed on social media. Yeah, we don't want,
let me hold you on that point because I have a moment left here and I want Chris to get in on the conversation too. But let me just on this one point that you said, because I think it's an important point that you're bringing up just from a spiritual perspective, you know, charity and the exercise of the virtue of patience are things that I think we should employ and keep that in mind when we go into a restaurant like yours or anyone else. This is an opportunity for us to really exercise some virtue. And rather than slamming somebody or growing impatient or tipping badly or doing whatever it is, it's time to show even greater love and exercise even greater patience. And I'm delighted you've made it. I'm delighted you're hanging in there through all this. My heart goes out to all small businesses, in particular restaurants. But Chris, you heard Delia. I want you to respond. I have to take a break in about a minute and a half here, 2 minutes. So I want to let you sound off before we do that.
Well, I'll tell you, this factor of labor shortages and the rising cost of labor is one of only many that business owners are doing. As you know, Drew, I live in St. Augustine, Florida, among other things, the home of the first parish in America. It goes back all the way to 1565. Also a wonderful, beautiful, historical shopping and tourist area. And I have been stunned recently at the number of places that have cut back hours or shutting down 2 days a week when they didn't used to shut down at all. And it's all about rising costs and labor shortages. And this is going to get worse, and it's going to get worse for the entire economy. Forget about just the restaurants. But when you look at how much, I mean, I saw somebody joke with this little meme on the internet the other day, a little plastic bag of sawdust, and he's saying, I'm selling dime bags of sawdust. You know, joking about the soaring lumber prices and everything. So for the first time in many years, we are seeing more substantial across-the-board inflation. And one of the things I'm trying to help people navigate with their portfolios is how to play this. And more so, the part of it that no one's talking about, when does the deflationary knee-jerk reaction come?
My guest today is Chris Temple, and if you want to join us, feel free to dial in. 888-914-9149. I had to take a quick break. Maria, thank you, or Delia, thank you for your call. Why don't you put a quick shout-out for your restaurant? Maybe somebody who's listening in New Mexico will stop by and support you as well.
The name of the restaurant is called The Cuban Cafe in Cuba, New Mexico. And I just want to say one more thing,
sure, very quickly.
As a business owner, we are very pro-life, and we have a 40 Days for Life sign in front
Praise
of our
God.
Business. And I wanted to say that we get a lot of positive support more than we do negative support.
I love
so
it.
Our faith is what keeps us going through it, and prayer has been the biggest thing. And
Amen to that. Just
want to say, if you, during Divine Mercy, if you will all pray for all the business owners out here who are struggling, and you know, we're all going to get through it, so we just all got to stick together, and prayer is the biggest thing that we all need now.
Well, keep being a witness for life, and keep up your great work. Thank you, Delia. I appreciate you being here. I've got to take a short pause. I'm going to be back on the other side. You can get in. You're on hold. We'll do my best to get you on the air. The number, 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at the economy. Lots of jobs wanted here. Driving into the studio here, I saw probably 50 of them. One business put out 50 signs in front of their business to get people's attention, and yet they can't seem to fill those slots. We're looking at why. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show is live now.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Here for you on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thank you for joining me. Great to be here. Want to send a giant thank you out to everyone who donated last week. We had a pledge drive. We are listener supported, as you know. We not only hit our goal, but we've gone over that. And if you missed it, it's not too late to be part of that winning drive. And we're so grateful for your generosity and your charity. This hour just superseded my expectations. And I prayed that God will bless you. And I hope he does. I hope he returns it to you in multiples, because you deserve it. And as you know, I try to give you a look at life, what's happening in the world, the culture, the economy, politics, international affairs, whatever it might be, and shine the light of our faith on it. How do we best navigate this? You know, what are the principles that can be applied? Today, we're looking at jobs. Last week's jobs numbers were dismal. They shocked the Biden administration, and really, they shocked the country. They were expecting much higher numbers. And it raises a lot of questions. Why? Why aren't people going to work when so many employers are out there saying, hey, I need help? So I've invited Chris Temple, the editor and publisher of the National Investor, to stop by to take your calls, to join us in conversation as we kind of noodle through this, taking a look at really what is the driver below the surface here. And Chris, before we jump back to the phones, I just want to ask you a personal question. You know, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal last week that the cost of lumber is up 250 to 260%. A piece of OSB board was, $10. Now it's as much as $50 or $60, and the cost of construction is way up. That's one industry, but we're seeing rising costs across the board. My wife was commenting on the food costs, how they're going up. There's a lot of other industries who I'm sure are seeing the same thing. And when I see that, I always pause because I get concerned that we might see inflation. This current administration has an open checkbook, and they're writing trillions of dollars worth of debt. I just saw the president before I walked in the studio here talking about sending other money out. But rising costs, if you could just address that and whether or not we could be seeing or teetering near inflation, what do you see coming in the not-too-distant future?
Well, look, since we only have a few minutes, I'm going to let people go to my website, nationalinvestor.com, where I go in depth on numerous items you'll see right on my front page on that subject. But I'll boil it down to this, Drew. Back in the 1970s, we had double-digit inflation followed by double-digit interest rates. We had Jerry Ford had us wearing wind buttons with inflation now and all this kind of stuff. The late economist Milton Friedman said inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon.
Yep.
If the government prints too much money, not the government, the privately owned Federal Reserve prints too much money, and that amount of money exceeds demand, then prices go up, and then the opposite can also happen. But for the last 40 years since that episode in the 1970s, starting with Paul Volcker, whose legacy, and I talk about this on my website, is grossly, grossly misunderstood. Starting with him, the Fed found a way to turn things upside down. And inflation is not first manifested any longer in goods and services and what the average person would consider inflation, like at the grocery store and lumbers and gas and whatever. Right. But inflation manifests itself instead in the financial markets and in asset prices. And ultimately, a little bit of that bleeds down to the economy. The theory that the Fed has been working under is that if they goose asset prices enough, and we see the Dow, which back in those days was 1,000, now it's pushing 35,000. If that makes everybody on paper feel wealthier, we'll go out and spend more. And maybe that, in the end, if there's enough demand, will lead to broader consumer price inflation. But for the first time, in a lot of years, not the first time since, 40 years ago, but for the first time in quite a while, we are looking at these across the board price increases for just about everything. And part of it is the Fed. Part of it is the government running too large a deficit. There are also supply issues. The price of a pound of copper just hit an all-time high. Wow. Amid a lot of forecasts that it will double even from this price. Because if you even half believe the growth trajectory that's been forecasted for this green economy, and we're going to be driving more electric vehicles and all the rest of this, we are going to triple copper consumption in the next 10 years. Copper is in too short a supply because for a lot of years prices were low. That did not give people the incentive to invest in future development. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody flipped a switch for a lot of these things. So right now, we're running debate within markets, and the Fed is on extremely one side of it, is that all of these cost increases, food, lumber, and whatnot, are going to be transitory. That's the Fed's favorite word these days. They won't be here long. There are some reasons why they have some call to suggest that. But I think that we're not very many months away. We're going to get new numbers tomorrow and Wednesday on consumer and producer prices. We're not far away from the financial market starting to get a little bit more nervous than this attitude we've seen recently. And you're going to see interest rates all of a sudden spike up again in the market. The Fed won't raise rates, but the market will raise rates, smelling inflation getting away from the control of the Fed.
Yep, yep.
So we're in for a rough road in the near term as we sort out this whole inflation mess. And last but not least on that, Drew, don't forget that when you have these massive bubbles built and blown by the Fed and asset prices, inevitably comes a deflationary bust.
Wow.
We saw it in 2000 and 2001. We saw it in 2008. And none other than current Fed Chairman Jerome Powell correctly has said that that was the Fed's fault for blowing bubbles back then that led to those busts. Yep. And what is he doing now? He's doing stuff that would make Alan Greenspan blush. And he previously was the worst of all time.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, let's do this. Tony's listening in St. Paul, Minnesota. Only a few moments. I'll try to get a couple calls on. Tony, good afternoon.
Hi, a couple comments. I was on unemployment a number of times in the 70s, 80s, whatever. And you know what? People find jobs almost miraculously as their unemployment ends. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, some people will do is they'll go out and work for cash on the side and not claim it. And in Minnesota here, they used to make you write down places that you would search. And then, I don't know if they had periodic spot checks on it. But people miraculously find jobs.
Yep.
Now, I can understand working in a warehouse. The risk is low, but I would not want to be a cashier at Walmart.
Right. Hey, Tony, thank you. I'm going to hold you on that thought. I'm going to let you sound off very quickly, Chris, and then we can move along. I think his point is right. I think if people really wanted a job today, there are jobs out there that you can work, and some of them pay pretty decently. But your thoughts?
Well, they do pay pretty decently, but I think part of the element here, and we talked about it specifically with the restaurants, Drew, is that this, for the first time in quite a while, when we had globalization and a race to the bottom and corporations outsourcing jobs, the pressure in real terms has been downward for 40 years. for wages for Americans. And now it's turning around. And that is a part of it. And so it's going to force employers to pay more, and we might get a return, at least a measure of it, of the cost push inflation of the 70s. Prices go up, workers demand more wages, and it becomes this vicious circle.
All right, let me see. Sandra in Wisconsin, thank you for waiting so long. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. First of all, we are members of one of the recurring gift societies and very grateful for our virtual parish of Relevant Radio.
Thank you, Sandra.
And but for the heroic, we're a healthcare family, and our troubles last year had to do with being kind of unable to practice the profession for a while by federal and state guidelines, and then a lot of the support staff didn't want to come back because they were making as much not working because of these incentives that you've been discussing on the program.
Yep.
And this was very discouraging to us and to my spouse leader in his clinical settings, because he was really doing heroic things to keep going, and some of the people that he needed there were slow. They were dragging their feet, and it's discouraging.
Yeah, it is.
It was discouraging to observe that. Things are coming along, but it's been slow and laborious to put it all back together. And if that's of any interest to your advisor guests, I just wanted to put it in there because
thank you
were talking about it earlier.
I'll tell you what, I've got to leave it right there. I'm going to pray the chapel. We'll pray for your intentions as well as Chris. Please check Chris Temple out at nationalinvestor.com.